Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to share some of this information with you. Christy cannot be here today, but I got the presentation last night. I'll try to answer any questions also that you may have. So this study is basically looking at what happened to phosphorus distribution after a long-term phosphorus placement study after 10 years. So that's basically the topic. A little bit of background on this topic. Obviously, the immobile nutrients, phosphorus, potassium distribution, and interaction with fertilizer placement, especially under minimum tillage, is always a question. What kind of implications this may have in terms of management, in terms of soil sampling, and so on. Particularly in the case of strip till, is a system that gives us the opportunity to not just do the strip till for planting purpose, give us better planting condition, but also give us the opportunity to apply most of the fertilizer in a band with that tillage pass. So obviously that's a good benefit that we have there. The aspect also that I would like to touch a little bit on this particular study is the long-term study and the long-term management that we have with some of these, again, tillage and fertilizer placement. A lot of these things we cannot see it in short term, but we have to see it obviously after a few years. And that's basically what producers do. They will have a management system, and they will be implementing that for 10, 15, 20 years. This particular study, is a study that we've been working on for the last 10 years. It's a corn-soybean rotation. The project has multiple locations. We have three locations, but for this presentation, we'll focus specifically on one location in Scandia, Kansas, which is located in the north-central part of the state. Initially, very low soil testing phosphorus, 8 parts per million when we began the study 10 years ago. And we'll focus in five different treatments for this presentation. A control where we basically have no phosphorus fertilizer application, again, also for 10 years. And then we look at four different placement systems, all of them with the same application rates of phosphorus. All of them are getting 80 pounds of P2O5 before corn and intended for both the corn and soybean rotation. The first one is a broadcast application, and then we have a broadcast combined with starter fertilizer, the starter fertilizer applied with a planter. And in the case of the starter fertilizer, we're putting 20 pounds of P2O5, and the balance 60 pounds, again, going with the main, in this case, with broadcast, or with the deep band, the same situation. But again, all of them are getting the same total rate of phosphorus. A little bit also kind of looking at the different placement here, broadcast application on the surface, the broadcast application combined with a 2x2 starter fertilizer, and the deep band application, which we target about 15 centimeters below the row, and again the combination of the deep band with the 2x2. One thing that I want to highlight here is that we are intending to apply the fertilizer in the same row and planting both the corn and soybean in the same row over time. And obviously there will be a little bit of variability perhaps over the years, but again it should be very, very closely within a few inches. A little bit more on strip till. Again, most of you probably familiar with this. It's a system where, again, we are doing tillage in narrow bands and in the area where we are planning to plant the corn and soybean in this case. And we are putting the fertilizer, taking advantage of that pass, and put the fertilizer, again, in this case, band apply roughly 6 inches below the surface. A little bit in terms of the sampling, and again, what we are presenting today is what's happening with the soil test phosphorus distribution after this long-term management, long-term placement of phosphorus and strip till. And so we did a very intensive sampling, and Christy and other students worked very hard this spring after 10 years, and this is basically what we did. Just to give you an idea, this is the row, the corn row, and in the row we are collecting cores, and then away from the row every 3 inches. all the way to getting to 15 right between the different rows, and we split that in 3-inch increments for sampling depth as well. So this is how we collected the samples. That's basically for one sampling point, we'll generate 24 samples for that goes to for analysis. For that, we again, like I say, we collect that we collected this spring after corn and soybean. We use pre-drill boards that we use to make sure we keep that distance in terms of sampling location. These studies are replicated. We have the treatments replicated 4 times. But again, we also collected after corn and soybean. So for this presentation, we are combining all of that, and we have basically what the values you will see are the average of 8 plots, basically. So it's a good average of the treatments for that location. So getting to the results, this is the control treatment. Again, no fertilizer, phosphorus application over 10 years. Again, the different sampling depths here, distance from the center of the row, and you can see the distribution of phosphorus. One thing that I want to highlight here is the scale. Look at the salt test phosphorus values. Again, everything is very low. Of course, everything is below 6 parts per million. But again, we also, of course, see that higher concentration near the surface, even without phosphorus application. On this graph here, looking a little bit the what happens in terms of removal of phosphorus over time, and this is the cumulative removal over 10 years for the rotation. So we have 5 rotations over the 10 years. And as you can see, even without phosphorus application, even with very low yields, significant reduction in yield potential, we are removing a total after 10 years close to 300 kilos of phosphorus per hectare. So obviously we are getting phosphorus from the total phosphorus pool, more likely. Obviously not enough to provide optimized yields, but we are still, seeing that release of phosphorus. What happens to the different treatments? Again, remember all of these are getting 80 pounds of P2O5 in the case of broadcast application applied on the surface. You can see the scale here start to change, of course. We start to see soil test values, 25, 30 parts per million in some parts of that soil profile. As you can see the graph here, in this, here we're looking at the average, again, for the different positions. Not much difference there. So basically, very uniform distribution of soil tests from the row and between the rows. However, as expected, a high concentration of phosphorus near the surface, close to 20 plus parts per million here in the upper 3 inches or so. And so again, obviously that will have some implications, particularly from the environmental standpoint, very likely. So something to keep in mind. Also something that I want to highlight, here's the average is 10 parts per million phosphorus, but this is the average for the entire profile, 12 inches. A typical sampling depth, of course, will be about 6 inches. So this value obviously will be higher. So just want to highlight that. When we do a 2x2 split application at planting time, very similar distribution, a little bit higher concentration near the row, but again in terms of where that phosphorus is close to the surface for the most part, again with the broadcast application. And I don't think I mentioned earlier, but again, strip till was applied for all of these treatments. So strip till is a uniform treatment. The only thing that we are changing here is basically the application methods for phosphorus. When we get to the deep band application, things are quite different. And in this case, you can see the soil test phosphorus concentration much higher near the row where we obviously been putting phosphorus over time. The scale here, we have over 30 here, but I'll talk about this a little bit later, but we got values anywhere from 50, 60 parts per million soil test phosphorus in some of these bands. So it can get pretty high in soil test phosphorus, again, after multiple years. Another thing that is obviously maybe expected, but it's very important to important implications perhaps for especially for environmental implications is the where that phosphorus is in terms of the profile. The higher concentration is in the 3 to 6 inches and much lower concentration near the surface, which obviously will help us to minimize any potential runoff issues and that kind of situation. So something to keep in mind. In terms of the deep band and plus a 2x2, again, same application rates, basically the same thing, the same type of distribution, maybe a little bit more movement towards the more of the 3 inches or so, and again, part of that is perhaps because of the application of phosphorus on the side of the road that, that we are seeing in this case. One thing that we also, Christy evaluated this year after 10 years of data, and we are fortunate to have information in terms of grain, concentration of phosphorus and removal every year for the two crops. And look a little bit in perspective, how this, the removal of this phosphorus over time for the different placement. In this graph, we have application rates over time, obviously positive values there, and the negative values are the removal, which is the lower values, and then we have the net value, which is the difference between the application rate and removal. So with basically with 80 pounds of P2O5 applied for corn and soybeans at this location, we're still running low, and as you can see, obviously we are negative in terms of the net balance over time. This is a fairly good yielding location, supplemental irrigation. Corn will be typically around 200 bushel, soybean about 60, 65, sometimes 70 bushel yield per year. So you can put that in perspective as, you know, the removal values. In terms of the actual removal, most of the variability comes from yield. Very little comes from variability in terms of grain concentration. After 10 years, and this is, again, just to put a little bit in perspective, what is the net phosphorus removal that we saw in this this location. Very similar, there seems to be higher removal with the broadcast treatments. In this case, these were not statistically significant. And if you look at the actual scale, we are talking about 25 kilos of phosphorus per hectare, which again, if you put that in perspective, over 10 years, perhaps is not very, very large. But again, there seems to be a tendency there. So again, just to finish here, another thing that we evaluated, we look at the total mass of phosphorus, and ban application seems to show a little bit higher total mass of phosphorus based on soil test phosphorus, of course. One thing that maybe we need to evaluate is the total phosphorus in these soils. We did see over the years significant increase in growth, especially with starter fertilizers for corn. We didn't see that for soybeans. But in terms of yields, we never saw any significant yields over time to these four different placements for the corn and soybean rotation at this location. In terms of, again, this specific aspect of this study, we look at broadcasts clearly show a significant increase of soil test phosphorus in the upper 7.5 centimeters, and again, that's something to keep in mind that may have implications for environmental quality. And in terms of deep banding, of course, we do see a significant increase of soil test phosphorus and below the row, and some values can get really high, 50, 60 part per million pretty easily. Again, also in that upper 6 inch or so. So a few things that we probably need to think about and kind of how we move forward. Guidelines for soil sampling is always a question when we talk about strip till and long-term strip till, like in this case. So that's something that we need to keep in mind. And we're hoping to look into that a little bit more as well. For the risk. Okay. So I guess it's time. So another thing that we plan to look in the future is the variability of soil tests with these different management systems, and again, what kind of implication that may have for management for the producer. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the support of for this study over the last 10 years and the work of students in the department.